Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Was on the phone with Seattle and Denver trying to pry those guys loose. And ultimately, Seattle and Denver said, no, we can't sell. We're still in it. We're not going to wave the white flag or throw in the towel on the season and trade our best receivers, DK Metcalf and Courtland Sutton. So that's the second time now Courtland Sutton is factored into the Steelers wide receiver pursuit, because remember, allegedly, if Denver had been willing to trade Sutton to San Francisco to replace Brandon Ayuk,
then Ayuk would have been traded here.
Yep, and the Steelers just cut off the middleman and went right to Denver, and they still were told no by the Broncos.
Again, would have been insane for them to punt on a 5-4 season.
I'm going to ask you guys this question, and we're asking the question all day. Are the Steelers a Super Bowl contender? Because that was the big talking point on ESPN today at 412-928-9370. And maybe your answer is no, because the Steelers didn't get one of these guys. I will ask you guys, should they have upped their offer? Should they have made an offer? Are either one of these receivers worth basically making a Godfather offer that neither one of those teams would have been able to refuse?
I don't think so. As much as like Metcalf, in theory, has history with Wilson, you're reuniting that. You've got just two ridiculous threats.
Yep.
Metcalf becomes your number one, in my opinion. He's better than Pickens. Disagreement? Any?
No.
Okay. Metcalf, Donnie, better than Donnie Pickens.
Was,
he's your number one.
Donnie Pickens was scratching becomes, something or
Pickens
or...
becomes an elite number two. It feels like the amount you would have needed to pry him away from Seattle would have been astronomical.
What's your definition of astronomical?
How many years does he have left?
Two more?
Man, I think they're asking for at least a first.
Okay.
Probably a first and a second.
Okay, I wouldn't
least.
Do that.
I think they're asking for two very high picks, one of which is a first-round pick, and I just don't think I would do... I don't feel...
But when Mark says...
So close to... That they're so close to a Super Bowl that I would have done that kind of deal. Like, they have other issues, man. Like, they... I'm trying to think of them...
You just said last hour you think they're a Super Bowl contender, long-term, and now you're like, stressing issues?
No, I mean long-term. Like, if you think that this team can be good for a couple of years with Russell Wilson... You probably want that first-round pick next year to try to shore up areas where they are currently thin, at the very least. It would be a very much an all-in move that I don't think would slot them ahead of the teams that I think they're currently behind.
So you would rather have ballpark the 25th pick in next year's draft than DK Metcalf?
Well, it wouldn't just be that. I think you'd have to be giving up at least... maybe not a second, but probably a third, but very possibly a second to pry him loose
okay.
from a team that still thinks they're in it because they're only one
sure,
game out.
Sure, I would
it.
Not do that, but I would have absolutely said, okay, we get that you don't want to trade him. John Schneider, I think, is the GM's name there. Here's a first-round pick, and make them turn down a first-round pick. And then if they say no, Omar Khan gets on the phone or texts Schefter and says, guess what? We didn't get... DK Metcalf, but just to let you know, we meant business. Here is what we offered them. And then I would look at Mike Williams as a consolation prize, which I'm okay with. But I would also say of them, like, damn, they really were all out, all in.
But if they got Mike Williams in the end, no matter what, like, what difference does it make if they were all in, all out?
Yeah.
How does that really affect how you view them the rest of the way? They still have
True.
The players that they have.
No, I hear you on that. But at least when this nebulous thing gets thrown out there by people like Kabali, the Steelers were told that Metcalf and Sutton were unavailable. Well, everybody is actually in theory available. Everybody's got a price.
Everybody's going to pay.
So unavailable because you didn't make some kind of offer that made them actually rethink their position this year and beyond. You can do that. It happens all the time. So clearly that didn't happen. That's all I'm saying is, in Metcalf's case, I would have wanted to make an offer like that that put Seattle in a very uncomfortable position, weighing the present versus the future. And I think at least a first-round pick would have done that. You say you still don't think they would have been able to get a deal done for that price. Okay.
Well, because I don't, he's a guy who has two more years. They, one, they're not even out of it right now. Two, they might feel like they're longer term still a competitor, even though they've obviously had some stumbles this year. I just think it would be a steep price to pay to get them to actually make a move like that. That's all. And if the end game is you make it, like you said, you make the offer and then you kind of force it to be known that that's what you offered, it doesn't really materially change your standing at all. It just shows, hey, we were really out there trying.
Donnie, would you have made a Godfather offer for Metcalf or Sutton?
Metcalf, I would highly consider it. Sutton, no. I mean, I think Sutton's a nice player. I think Metcalf's in a different league than what Cortland Sutton
is. He's only 26, too, Metcalf. I thought he was older than that.
I actually would really consider...
He looks like a human muscle.
...dropping a first-round pick for him. And you think it would be a first and a second?
I don't think so. That was what Chris threw out there. I don't think it would be that costly.
Yeah, I didn't think... first and a third? Know.
So if you were in a boardroom and this was being bandied about and Omar Khan went to you and said, Donnie, football, should we trade a first-round pick for DK Metcalf? And he was demanding an answer because time was of the essence and the deadline was at 4 o'clock. What would your answer have been?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. But clearly, nobody did that because he's still there. And they were able to fall back on, hey, we're hoping that even though we're the worst team in this division right now.
They're one game back of first place.
Yes. But what I said still is true. They're currently the worst team in that division. You disagree?
In terms of record or in terms of the eye test?
You've always gone by the eye test. You've handed out Super Bowl awards.
I was merely asking you what you were trying to intimate here.
I'm throwing it back to you, so I'm asking for your opinion. You're a man that has given out mythical national championships and Super Bowl trophies
to teams.
Well,
I'll be damned if I know anything about Arizona, because every time I'm willing to put them in the dirt, they rise like a phoenix from the ashes. But I think it bears mentioning that the Seahawks, three of their four wins are Broncos when Bo Nix didn't know his ass from a hole in the ground, Patriots when they sucked horribly, which they still do, but they at least have Drake May. They didn't back then. And then the Tua-less Dolphins, who might actually be the worst team in football when he's not starting.
Yes, when it's Tim Boyle or some.
And then they got smoked by the Lions ultimately in a game where they hung in there for a little bit, beat by the Giants, throttled by the Niners, throttled by the Bills, lost to the Rams. Like, yeah, they're the worst team in that division.
Mike Tomlin talking about what makes Mike Williams a good fit. We'll have that audio plus what Preston Smith said. We were all kind of flummoxed by why the Packers would trade a guy that's been a starter all year, hasn't been productive, but is getting a lot of playing time, why they would deal him to the Steelers. And Smith actually gave an answer on that today. So we'll hear that in a few minutes. Here is one of our good friends, Mike in Maryland. Hello, Mike.
What's going on, boys?
Hey, buddy.
I'm going to clip this on the Odyssey app, so I got to give a shout-out to my wife. I got a heck of a weekend coming up. Yeah, I'm going to the Pens game Friday and then tailgating with the boys down in FedEx Field. So it's going to be
lovely Mrs. Mike in Maryland facilitated all of this, or is just being...
No, she's been a trooper. She's got the kids.
Okay, gotcha.
She's taking one for the team. So.
I knew we were going to be I knew we would talk to someone, and I should have figured it was you, Mike, that was pulling the ultimate Pittsburgh sports weekend in D.C. with the Caps game on Friday and the Commanders game on Sunday. So congratulations on all your success.
And thank you to your wife on our behalf for letting you, one of our favorite callers, go and do this.
Mike, you got a hot wife?
I like to think so.
Good for you, man.
What kind of a question is that?
It's a good one, I think. I'm interested.
I'm just a blue collar guy. You know, a little dirt ball and
God bless you, Mike. We love people like you, blue collar.
But when she looks at you, Mike, she sees a guy that she wants to watch the kids for so he can go to the nation's capital and watch some sports.
Let's go. But, yeah, no, on the Mike Williams thing, man, I thought about it when you guys brought it up the other day. Who's to say that Russell can't elevate Mike Williams to a different level? I mean, I know we hold Rodgers in that top tier, just like all-time career, but like right now he's kind of buns. He's not doing too hot, and I don't know if he's – I mean, he's got a chip on his shoulder now too, you know? I mean, the guy called him out and embarrassed him and basically punked him. It's like, yeah. I don't know. He doesn't have to be great. He just has to be good. Like,
they're not going to ask him to do a lot of the detail-oriented stuff, I think, frankly, that Rodgers probably wanted. I think Williams himself said Rodgers wanted like detail-oriented, like super fine point stuff. They're going to say, hey, Mike, go split out wide there opposite George, run as fast as you can down the field, and then when this ball comes out of the sky towards you, please try to go and high point it.
Mike, Steelers a Super Bowl contender, or are we getting ahead of ourselves here at the halfway point?
I think they're going to absolutely roll the Commanders this weekend. And that's just only because I watch them all the time. Yeah. I'm just tired of the smack talk. Like, they'll play victim after it happens because they'll say, well, we're still a season away, but that's all you hear, dude. And I do root for him, but it gets hard because the Jaden Daniels stuff. It's kind of like the C.J. Stroud thing, but they're not the Texans.
So that is your way of saying yes, the Steelers are for real. They are a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, I predicted them to play the Chiefs in the AFC Championship.
Yes,
when they
you
had
did.
Fields, so.
Yes, you did. We have that. I still have the Manila folder. I should go pull that out. Actually, I think it's in my bag here. And update where.
Everybody has
predictions.
B-Mac still has the most bullish ones. He called a Super Bowl win the seventh.
He did.
What if Russell?
No, wait.
Wilson,
no, I don't think he.
No, he
said
he
lose the Super Bowl
to who?
He said it wasn't part of his assignment to come on the air and pick the NFC team.
How rare is it though for somebody to say they're going to get there, but they're going to lose? Once everyone says they're going to get there, they just go the full Monty. You ever see that movie?
Well, you say once everybody gets there. Donnie went to his polling place yesterday and voted for Jesse Ventura, for crying out loud. Didn't you tweet that, or am I now spilling tea?
I did tweet that.
Okay. Did most people think that was a real thing, or they thought you were just pulling everybody's chain?
I mean, it was a picture of my sticker and then a picture of Jesse Ventura from Predator.
Yeah, but I think people might have thought you were just joking around. You literally said right in.
Only person ever from the Reform Party to win a governor race.
Did you write in Jesse Ventura, or did you write Jesse and then in quotes the body?
The body.
And then Ventura.
Here's a serious question, because I've never done a write-in candidate situation. When you write in a presidential candidate, are you supposed to write in a vice presidential candidate with them?
That's a great question. Did you put someone on the ticket with them?
I could understand like if there's a write-in for just like a lower office where it's only that person occupying the office, but presidential tickets have two people on them.
Right.
So do you have to like put Bobby the Brain Heenan underneath
him? I think you just put one name. I didn't have enough room, I guess, to put Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yeah, the ballot that got printed out after I voted just had the president's name and not the vice president presidential nominee
really?
On it. Yeah.
No, my ballot had both president.
Well, the one that showed up on the
name.
Board where I had to click one did, but then
did
when
you
it
have
printed.
Did you have digital or did you have a
it's
a paper?
Digital, and then it printed out a ballot, and then I put it in another machine to tabulate it.
See, I was just handed a paper ballot, pen, filled it out.
Oh,
scanner,
we didn't do that.
And then handed it back to the election official.
We didn't do that in Chartiers Township.
Well, it sounds like Chartiers Township was actually a little higher tech.
Did you see in North Carolina, I don't know if it was from this election or from a recent one, there were 90-something write-in votes for a candidate named Deez Nuts. And somebody on the local TV station in whatever
had
North Carolina.
Mr. Nuts?
No, and said in 93rd right now, and 91 votes is decent.
Too bad that wasn't our buddy Ed DiOrio. He works down there now.
That's right. We debated.
So there
this
was a grassroots effort to try to get Deez Nuts.
Do you think elected. 100 people in the United States wrote Jesse the Body in for president?
No.
I do.
Unless there was like a Reddit.
But he has,
like
real
thing.
Cachet with people. I mean, the guy was a governor of a
major state in Minnesota.
I know that.
Why don't you tell me why I wouldn't make a good candidate for president?
2 minutes away from more discussion on this. Are the Steelers a Super Bowl contender? I mean, we have not heard anybody say yet on the show we're getting ahead of ourselves, pump the brakes. Do you want to be that person to say...
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Let's not go nuts here yet. 412-92. 3:15, time to get to Tom Fridays for juicy steaks, meats, and more. I did find our 2024 Steelers record predictions sheet. Not a single one of our guests picked the Steelers to win more than 10 games.
Who was the most bullish? Who went?
B-Mac had them 10-7 and losing in the Super Bowl.
What were the other ones?
Florio, 9-8, missed playoffs. Aditi said, I don't do predictions.
That's not surprising.
Jeff Hathorne, 9-8, missed the playoffs. Steve Palazzolo, 9-8, missed the playoffs. Bob Pompeiani, 9-8, missed the playoffs. Fittipaldo, 9-8 in the playoffs, win in the wild card round.
Bullish from Fittipaldo. Very bullish.
I think he's got to feel...
reasonably good, I would say, right?
Yeah, I think among our...
among our
guests, he's second right now behind D-Mac.
Yeah, esteemed prognosticators for sure.
Donnie, 9-8, missed playoffs. Kabali, 8-8-1, missed playoffs.
Had to be difficult.
Muller, 8-9, missed playoffs. Pony, 7-10, missed playoffs. Ross Tucker, 9-8, missed playoffs.
You know who else you should throw in there? Because he is the biggest cheerleader in the city about Mike Tomlin. Intern Dom, you remember what his preseason prediction was?
I do not.
Was it 4-13?
7-10.
Oh, that's right.
He's the world's biggest fan of the head coach. He predicted them to win one more game than where they're currently at.
Did you hear about the plight of Intern Dom? Did you hear about what happened to Intern Dom?
No.
Intern Dom's little glib comment about how he got more airtime with Donnie than he did at the student radio station at Syracuse got back to the news director there.
Oh, no.
And he's been suspended from the radio station for the rest of the semester.
You've got to be kidding
me. I'm not.
Oh, no.
I'm not. That actually happened.
I mean, it is, in a way, for a guy who clearly now aspires to be what we are, which is like a talk show host and say bombastic things, in a way, that's like a good origin story, right? He got off and running. He does have the ability to piss people off with every syllable that
comes out
of his
mouth. I told you, he's
going to
work for one of the big dogs one day.
So, Donnie, you did the interview with him. Did you think he said anything regarding the Syracuse Pitt game that was inflammatory? Like, oh, man, he's going to get in trouble for saying this. Did you think that at any point?
The game specifically?
Anything that he said on the air with you.
Just anything.
I did. See, I thought it was funny at the time when he said...
more airtime with
you.
Yeah,
like he thanked me, like, oh, this 10 minutes that we're going to have chatting together, that's more than what they'll give me here. That comment, I laughed at that. And I kind of had in the back of my mind thought, like, oh, I hope nobody's listening. And then he texted me not long after, and he's like, well, I had some buddies listening.
Oh, no.
So I sent the guy in charge of the radio station there an email.
You did?
I did.
On behalf of our little
buddy?
Yeah,
want me to read it to you guys?
Yes.
I said, Chris, long time no speak. I hope this email finds
Wait,
you well.
Do you know this person?
Yeah, he was the he's a professional radio person. It's a
how much older than
oh, so
is
it's
he?
Like a
it's an NPR station.
Okay, so it's not a student.
It's a hybrid. It's student-run, but there's also
because it's Syracuse
radio
students, there's an expectation
there.
That like the students are going to be pretty damn good because, unfortunately, they always
so
are.
I said to him, I heard about WAER's decision that our part-time employee and my former intern, Dominic DiTomaso, was suspended from the radio station because of a glib comment he made on the air with us while previewing the Pitt-Syracuse game Wednesday night. I can assure you that it was meant to be a benign or innocuous joke about the very disciplined process that students have to go through to get on the air there. As someone who regularly advocates for the radio station, both with prospective students and at radio conferences, I often talk about how that better prepared me for a role in sports media. And then I said this. I vouch for Dominic 100%. He's one of the hardest working interns we've ever had. I credit the training and education he's getting at Syracuse for that.
Did you get a response?
I hope that something can be done about this discipline that's less draconian.
Draconian!
He knows that he has to pay his dues, but to deprive him of furthering his broadcasting path because of a silly comment I believe to be iron-fisted. I'm a proud alumnus, and I'll continue to recommend both the university and the radio station to as many eager broadcasting students as I possibly can. I just hope that you'll reconsider the punishment here. Thanks and go Orange, Andrew Filipponi, class of 08.
Get a response?
Nope.
How long ago was this?
This was like October 25th.
Yeah, that ain't good. That didn't do squat for old Dom. You think you could get Parkins or Nick Wright to write on their behalf, on Dom's behalf?
I can, but do I want to?
Do you want to like continue to use heavy artillery here?
I mean, I've already talked to like they've already volunteered to do as much. They want to help Dom. They
really
want to be. Yes.
I think it's
man,
more,
he got some of the big guns.
That's what I mean. I think it's more important for Dom that those guys want to help him than like actually helping.
I mean, I'm thinking about going to the nuclear option on this.
I also, Tirico.
Oh my God! Are you good enough buddies with Tirico?
But Mike, I think cares enough about.
You have to send Mike the actual clip so he could see how glib it was?
I think I would just say, look, he made this comment. It was kind of a frivolous throwaway comment. It was a joke about how it's so hard to get on the air there. We're gonna kick guys out of a radio station because of a joke they made?
You could really stir up a hornet's nest here. I kind of want to see this go nuclear option.
How about that?
I mean, Dom honestly would have been better off getting drunk, peeing his pants in studio.
Correct.
There, then going on with Donnie.
Give him time.
Game.
He might.
You might have ruined his radio career.
Oh no! You can't put that kind of juju on Donnie.
No,
here.
I'm not saying like obviously not intentionally, but inviting him on the air with you for what you thought was a harmless interview right now is like completely causing
upended his whole career.
I also just think Dom's too good. He's going to go on to some very big things.
He's better than I am at this.
I think if Dom met Nick Wright. Nick would look at him and think, this guy was me 15, 20 years ago.
He reminds me kind of what I imagine college-age Danny Parkins to be. Now, Danny's a lot taller and bigger than Dom.
I don't know Danny enough.
But, like, Danny, every time I've come across him, Pony, is it fair to say Danny cuts, like, a nerdier profile?
Like,
a nerdy kind of, like, sports geek profile a little bit.
I think that's what they're...
That's the whole thing on Breakfast
portray
Ball.
Portray him on that show on FS1, yes.
And I think Dom does that too, but I know this from talking to you about Danny. Danny was like fearless, would say anything to anybody at any time. I think Dom has that like complete lack of self-preservation gene in his body. And so that I say that respectfully in an admiring tone.
He never mentioned to you, Donnie, that he was in hot water?
Well, that's when he texted me after and said I had some buddies listening. He might have mentioned that like somebody in charge of the radio station was. I also just kind of thought, oh, it's probably just a student because that's how we did things. I didn't think there was an actual...
We had students run the internet station at Penn State, Comm Radio, but then there was a guy who was a classic rock DJ on like the big stick classic rock station in town who kind of oversaw it. But like, man, you would have had to do way worse than this.
Yeah, we had an advisor.
Stop taking yourself so seriously. My God.
Man, I think that's a bad look. By the way, we got an answer to the Jesse Ventura write-in question, Donnie. Jason and Slippery Rock unsurprisingly had the answer. If a write-in candidate actually won the presidential election, he or she would be free to pick whomever they wanted as vice president. Same goes for governors and lieutenant governors. You imagine Jesse wins it. Who is the funniest living person he could have put on there?
I'd take Triple H to be my running mate.
Is the Fabulous Moolah still alive?
I think she's
been long gone. I don't think she was around for the 08 election.
I named former WWE heavyweight champion Mark Henry as my running mate.
Mike Florio on what happened at the trade deadline and how it positions the Steelers for the Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service. It's time to talk to Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. One of the biggest days of the year for Mike's site is trade deadline day. He was all over that over at ProFootballTalk.com. It's become, in the last few years, one of the most newsworthy days in pro sports. Mike, your reaction to the two moves the Steelers made, Mike Williams and Preston Smith?
I feel like the Steelers have a price that they're willing to pay, and that's it. And if you want to do the deal, we'll do it. If not, that's fine. We're not going to overpay. We've budgeted this. And then we just sit back and wait. That's just my gut feeling. They're not going to mortgage the future. They're not going to give up more than they want. They're content to not do the deal. And if the deal works, the deal works. And I think it worked out well for them. I think Mike Williams in that offense, given what we've seen from Russell Wilson throwing the ball to not just George Pickens, but the other receivers, it's a clear number two, the number two they've been looking for since we were talking about Brandon Ayuk possibly becoming a Steeler. So I like that part of it. The Preston Smith thing was unexpected, but anything that adds to the rotation of pass rushers, that's important as well, because throwing the ball and getting to the guy that throws the ball are the two most important functions in football.
Mike, I want to ask you, now that they have Williams, though, about another New York team and the receiver that was being bandied about, actually an edge rusher that was also being dangled out there that didn't get moved. Giants don't move Ojulari or Slayton. We heard that the Steelers made at least a serious call about Slayton. What are you hearing about why the Giants did not move on from either one of those guys and try to get what they could in trade deals?
Well, teams have a balance that they try to strike between what they have, what they can get. Are we giving up? Are we giving in? Nine teams have two wins through 9 weeks. Will one of these teams get hot? Will one of these teams find a way to start winning? They just weren't ready to give up or create the perception they're giving up for what they were being offered. And I think that one of the things we lose sight of, these deals aren't done in a vacuum. Whether and to what extent you do a good deal now or a bad deal now sticks with you. And you don't want to be viewed as a team that's an easy mark. You don't want to be viewed as a team that drives too hard of a bargain. You want all these deals to be win-win. And I think there's a stubbornness that creeps into it where we don't want to be regarded as a team that just takes anything we can get and we're throwing in the towel and we're giving up on the season. So I think there's a lot of factors that come into play, but it's not just a short-term thing. It's a long-term thing, and teams don't want to be viewed a certain way. And I think the Steelers' attitude is, this is what we're giving. You want more? Too bad. We just won't do the deal. And I wouldn't have been surprised if the Steelers hadn't done any deals yesterday, because they and the Ravens are in the same boat in my mind. We'll do deals on our terms, and if we don't, if we are expected to give up more than that, we're just not going to do it.
Mike, we had one of our insiders on our station earlier today say that the Steelers did call Seattle yesterday about Metcalf to try to pry him loose. What do you think would have been the offer that made Seattle say, this was not our intention to trade DK Metcalf, but this is just too good to say no to?
I mean, I think it's got to be at least a first-round pick. And if you're a team that's expected to be in the bottom fourth of round one, based upon where the Steelers currently are, you might have to enhance it with something else. They have Tyler Lockett. They have Jackson Smith and Jigba, who just had a career game with a couple of touchdown catches and 180 yards and a big fourth down catch in the effort to force overtime against the Rams. So between Metcalf and Lockett, you would assume that they would at least ponder the possibility. But Metcalf isn't untouchable. There's only a small handful of players that aren't getting traded under any set of circumstances. I saw Dan Morgan, the Panthers GM, saying today that they got calls about J.C. Horn and, oh, we're not trading him. If somebody offers you enough, you're trading J.C. Horn. J.C. Horn's not on the list of untouchable players. DK Metcalf isn't on the list of untouchable players, but I think it takes at least a first-round pick, probably more, to get Metcalf away from the Seahawks.
Mike, when you take stock of the NFL right this second, now post-deadline, everybody's made their moves. We're trying to figure out with our listeners in general if the Steelers are viewed locally right now, if people view them as a Super Bowl contender. One, how would you answer that question specifically about the Steelers? And two, how open does this year feel compared to other years as far as number of teams who could realistically win the whole thing right this second?
One of the things Chris Sims will say about the Steelers as we get deeper into the regular season, it's been a consistent theme from him in recent years. He roots against the Steelers to make the playoffs because he's convinced they can't win once they get there. Let's give the spot to a team that has a chance of winning in January. And I think with Russell Wilson, the way he's been playing, the somewhat uncharacteristic willingness to give up future assets to try to help the team get better now. When you look at where they are, I think they can win the postseason. They can get hot. They can improve. Nine tough games coming up now. The Browns games, who knows? But they're still division rivalries. But you've got the Commanders, the Chiefs, the Eagles in six division games. It's not going to be easy. But I think the Steelers are in that mix. They're in that conversation of a team that by the time we get to January can win in the postseason, can win on the road in the postseason, could beat the Bills in Buffalo, could beat the Ravens in Baltimore, could beat the Chiefs in Kansas City, potentially, if anybody can beat the Chiefs. And that may be the reality. Nobody may have a chance at beating the Chiefs except the Lions in the Super Bowl when it comes down to it. But I still think the Steelers are capable, more capable this year than in other recent years of winning in the postseason.
One of the guys who said on TV today that the Steelers are a Super Bowl contender is Andrew Hawkins. Mike, he is from Johnstown. If you are from Johnstown, Pennsylvania, can you say that you're from Pittsburgh?
I think you're close enough. Depends on how far you are away from Pittsburgh when you say it.
You are a Wheeling guy. Do you say, when you were on vacation, would you say, oh yeah, we're from Pittsburgh? Or would you say...
No.
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 Okay.
No, but I'd say it's basically Pittsburgh. I'd say that if Mason and Dixon had finished their line all the way until the Ohio River... that it basically it's a suburb of Pittsburgh. Yeah, so, but it's not Pittsburgh. It's 60 miles away, but it feels like kind of just, there's all of those interchangeable little mining and steel mill towns around Pittsburgh. Wheeling's one of them. Johnstown's one of them. There's a bunch of them like that. They feel the same. They look the same. They basically are the same.
The problem is it's like one of those deals where, and I went to Penn State, Mike, so I would meet people like this all the time. Hey, where are you from? Oh, outside Philly. And then they would just say, I'd be like, where outside Philly? And they'd name a town that was like an hour and 15 minute drive, but they consider themselves Philadelphians. I feel like that doesn't work as well with a city the size of Pittsburgh. If you're 60 miles away from Pittsburgh, you live in a different place.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. But still, it's... It really is strange how many of those towns there are around Pittsburgh. You could draw about a 100-mile diameter around Pittsburgh.
Yes.
Would it be a radius, 100-mile radius around Pittsburgh? And there's so many of those towns that just feel the same and feel like an extension.
That's a big-ass radius, though. You're getting into Akron at that point. You're almost in Cleveland drawing that 100-mile circle.
Maybe,
50 miles.
All right. 75 miles. Let's do the blackout zone, the old blackout zone, whether the game was sold out or not, 75 miles.
Like I was telling Chris that the governor there, who is now the senator, his dog used to have his own office with his own secretary in West Virginia. And I wonder now if now that he's moving to D.C., if they will give him the same kind of treatment. Did you know that the dog?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how the Senate feels about baby dog. We're going to find out. Could be a good premise.
The dog is one of the biggest celebrities in West Virginia. You're on the list, I have to say, at the moment.
I hope Mike is a big celebrity.
Dog. But the dog, the dog's a huge deal.
I yield to baby dog.
I told Chris this. The dog flipped the coin before a West Virginia football game 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, if Justice was given a speech at like on the Senate floor, be like, I yield my time to baby dog, and here comes the dog barking or something like that.
The dog's on when he addresses the state. The dog is on camera with him. The dog is ubiquitous. It's everywhere.
And you never know when he's going to raise baby dog's business end of the camera to make a point.
He's done that?
Which he's done.
Oh, my God.
Oh yeah.
Wow, dude.
There was a message to Bette Midler. Bette Midler said something about West Virginia, so Bette Midler got to see.
And he literally showed a bulldog's ass to the camera to rebut her. Literally rebut her.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Do things a little differently down there.
Wild and wonderful, baby.
That gives a different meaning to rebuttal.
Mike, thank you. We'll talk next week.
See ya.
Yeah. Here's the thing about that dog for a second.
Yeah.
I don't think bulldogs live very long.
So how many iterations of this dog are we on?
Is it like the Uga? Georgia mascot, exactly where when one passes?
It sounds like his attachment to the dog. It sounds like his attachment to the dog is such that it's the same dog this whole time. Also, that bulldog is probably living longer than other bulldogs. I would assume it's getting exemplary medical care.
Well, Justice owns the Greenbrier, and they have a medical facility there that like the richest people in the world fly in to get their physicals and get treated there. So I agree with you. I would think they have a world-class vet.
Now, I understand, like, you've had kings from the Middle East fly in, the late Freddie Fu.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.